Seven Knife and Hell is what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis, know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. Seven Knife and Hell.
Good afternoon, Bears fans. We are here, 79th and Hallis, episode 209. As you know, it's your boy Scott. As you can see, Flo's is not here. He has entered the barber's chair health and safety protocols. he got a fever late last night. It's not COVID, so that's a good thing. So he was not able to make the game last minute. But this will be the last game that neither one of us will be at. I will be in the building next week for Bears Lions. I'll be in the building for every game for the rest of the entire year.
Oh, congrats.
So, you know, due to flight prices, I'm going to be in like four different cities this month. LA, of course, right now, Chicago. Then I'm going to Atlanta for the Bears-Falcons game, which I'm pretty sure the entire city of Chicago will be there. Then I'll be going to New York City for the Jets game. And the Bears at home all of December. And then, of course, I'll be at the final road game in Detroit. Only reason I'm going there is because my auntie lives in Detroit. So I might as well, you know, get a home-cooked meal. You know what I'm saying?
What up, though?
You know what I'm saying? Give me some Coney. I ain't got no Coney Island in a minute. Last time I went, it was Thanksgiving. So, you know, I wasn't going there. But then go give me some sweet water wings from downtown Detroit. So, you know, we'll be in attendance for the rest of the games, man. But and joining in, filling in for my brothers, my guy, J.R. Bang. You know, follow him on Twitter and Instagram at J.R. Bang. The podcast is up. Host of First Black Champ, also co-host of Summer Sessions, and we'll be back this week on Summer Sessions, man. I'm interested
with an amazing episode
to Atlanta, and with an amazing episode.
It's gonna be an amazing episode.
I'm looking forward to hearing.
I can't talk about everything.
Yeah, of course not.
Of
course not. You know, but I'm looking forward to that, man. But you know, follow us on Twitter at Barbershare Scott. You know, to follow the Barbershare Network at Barbershare Net on Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/Barbershare Network. $5 package, $10 package, get whatever you need, man. Visit the bcnet.com. The store is coming soon. I know I've been saying that, but it really is, man. I got a lot of money being taken out of my pockets for a lot of things right now. But we're going to try to get that up to y'all by the first, which would be the 5-year anniversary of Barbershare Network. Very quick 5 years. Doesn't feel like it's been that long. So I'm hopefully we'll have that up and running for y'all by then, man. But Bears lose a close one, 35-32 at the lakefront, man, against the Miami Dolphins for like the third week in the row. The Bears have scored around 30 points. I'm just going to round up for last week. They scored 29. So we're just going to round up, you know, for that score. The offense has been looking good. Very tough game to lose, but in the grand scheme of things, man, I'm not disappointed. Man, how you feeling coming out this game?
This is the best I've ever felt after a loss in my life. I even look at it in the sense of we lost to a special teams play.
Yes.
When you look at it, we lost by mistakes. A blocked punt. Two pass interference calls that should have went the Bears' way. And then I'll say it the Kevin Garnett way, the equitous St. Brown missing a pass at the end of the game, which definitely should have been caught. It hit him in the hands. It was a very catchable ball. So we lost by mistakes, minor mistakes, but at the same time, when you look at this game was historic. And how many times in our history, I want to be able to say this. I want to start my part off by saying how many times in our lifetime where we heard historic performance by a quarterback in a Bears uniform. Ladies and gentlemen, that's never happened. So I feel good.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I feel pretty great about everything that went on, man. It was an entertaining game. And I think the thing that me and my brother asked for at the beginning of the season, now we know how realistic this is going to be, was to be a fun team. You know, put up points. Like, you know, I've seen a lot of people when I was playing about the defense too, but I'm like, you know how many times in my 30 years as a Bears fan that I have watched incredible defense and we're like, man, if we can just get one score, and we can't get nothing on offense. I am having the greatest time over these last 2 weeks to see we're just scoring at will. And I don't even care about the defense not doing anything, because I know with the 130 million Pose Bucks, as I like to call it, a lot of these dudes are going to be playing for the XFL by April. And there's going to be new people, you know, coming in and taking these positions, man. So I was just – it was a fun game. It was such a fun game that I even realized that Justin was coming across history. You know, and then he broke Michael Vick's all-time regular season pass record, running record. Because Kaepernick has the –
yeah, Kaepernick has the playoff total with 181, but Michael Vick has the regular season total with 173. So,
yeah, Justin had 178 on 15 carries, as long as it was 61 on that long run, and then Justin went 17 for 28. That's got to be a career high for passing attempts, at least since Gessie's got it. 17 for 28, 123 yards, and 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. Only got sacked twice. Man, I got to give it up to the offensive line. They did the damn thing. I didn't cuss out Mustafa's, like, that actual sack, and that should have been roughing a quarterback. Any other quarterback not named Justin Fields, that is easily 15 yards right there. But I mean, there's really not much to complain about on the offensive side of things. The thing that, you know, is being the greatest thing I'm loving to see is that as Bears fans, we were all hopeful, and I've been telling people, like, I never had a doubt about Justin. Like, to me, it's been just about can the Bears not ruin him. But we knew the talent was there. And that loss, that pathetic loss at the lakefront against the Washington Commanders was low-key a blessing in disguise. That was the game where I feel like everybody got on the Bears, national media. I remember Richard Sherman going off on a rant like, you know, like it was like he used to play for the Bears or something. And he was saying, you know, they should be running more RPOs. You know, stop trying to make him a pocket quarterback. He has a pocket quarterback. He has a 4.4. Runs a 4.4. Take advantage of that. You had Scott Van Pelt saying the same thing. It was like all these national outlets. And it's like Luke Getsy went to – it was like Luke Getsy sat down with Justin doing a mini-bomb. Was like, you know what? Fuck everything we was doing these first couple weeks. Let's go watch some Lamar Jackson tape. Let's go watch how they run the offense with Jalen Hurts. Let's go see how that Buffalo runs the offense with Josh Allen. And let's do some designated runs. And, you know, and he's been great for a month now, you know, with the drop of glory in the Minnesota game. You know, he had an opportunity to win that game. You know, the big Monday night football game, which I feel put everybody on radar because it was a national TV game. And then last week, you know, even though they got the brains beat in, put up 29 points against one of the best defenses in football. And you come up in this game, too, with an all-pro secondary, and you put up 32. And like you said, we really, if you look at it, we lost because of a mistake on special teams. And to me, I'm happy about the little small things that I saw from Chase Claypool. And we'll get into the officiating later. But the small things I saw from Chase Claypool was amazing. It just feels like when he gets more set into this offense, it's going to be lights out. Now, yeah. You were out of town doing a trade. What's your thoughts on this whole weekend Bears football? Because I know you were like, man, Leo Poles got to do something. He did something this week. What's your opinion?
Yeah, and he still has to do something. Oh, but I am, but I'm a fan of the Chase Claypool fan. I've of the trade. I've been a Chase Claypool fan. And you know, when George Pickens got picked by the Pittsburgh Steelers, you knew somebody was going to be on the outside looking in. I thought Deontay Johnson would still be there. And when you look at a wide receiver as young as Chase Claypool get traded, you wonder why. Like, yeah. You wonder if he's a lemon or anything like that. But I was reading somewhere, and it took me to put two and two together. When you look at this, you look at this offense more similar to the Seattle Seahawks, right? With a faster quarterback, with a more athletic quarterback in Justin Fields. So when I look at it, I see a big wide receiver that's, what, about 6'4", 240 pounds, can run a 4.4, so he's fast as well. You have him at the X, and then you see, even though Chase Claypool just got here, things open up a bit more for Mooney, and things really open up more for Cole Kmet. And I had said this on some dude last week, where if we get somebody – it opens it up for those two people. Chase Claypool has only been here for 5 minutes, and you have Cole Kmet with his best game as a pro, and you start to see things open up for Mooney. So when we get him more ingrained in the offense, which we should see possibly in the next 2 weeks, and then we have a game next week against the Lions, which even though they defeated Green Bay, got to say that out loud, yes, they are still the worst defense in the league, right? Yeah. This looks up, and it doesn't look up just for the offseason. It looks up for this season. Not saying that the Bears is going to turn it around or anything, but what you want to see from Chase Claypool is you want to see chemistry between him and Justin and not wait to see it during training camp or OTAs. Right. You want to see it now to see what you have. And it looks like we have something with this wide receiver room as presently constructed. All we need to do is upgrade, and we see what Justin did today.
That's a great way to say it. You know, with Claypool, I think he had like 2 catches, 13 yards. We all know the egregious pass interference that was not called. Like, and it was two bad calls. I'm not trying not to rely too much on officiating, but those were two terrible calls. The pass interference that they called on Eddie Jackson, which is not a pass interference, and then to come right back and don't call one that's blatant pass interference. They triple team Chase Claypool, basically put this nigga through a table.
Basically.
And nothing. In front of the referee. It's not basically like he's on the other.
Yeah. Basically gave that man a belly-to-back suplex.
Right there. And then right after that, Equanimeous St. Brown drops.
Call that man what Kevin Garnett calls equivalent.
Equivalent St. Brown. Or shout out, I got Billy Ice in the comments. He said, I need egregious St. Brown to be bagging produce at Butera by next week.
We got the wrong St. Brown, G.
We do.
We got the wrong St. Brown.
Should have got his brother over there in Detroit, man. Shout out to Omar in the comments that Kmet had a good game. He had a real great game. Kyle Ellis says, we looking good. Two-parent household, Michael Vick is QB1. That is hilarious. Two-parent household. Yeah, hey. That's hilarious.
It feels good to say that we have a future at quarterback. I remember when Jay Cutler got traded to the Bears. I was at work, and I literally shut down the whole entire store to say that Jay Cutler's coming to the Bears. And I was very excited because Jay Cutler had
an arm.
He had a little bit of a track record coming in. But other than that, when have we ever been excited about this position? We've never been in our lifetimes excited at quarterback. And as I said in the beginning, this is the first time in our history to say that we had a quarterback that had a historic day.
Yeah.
Like, we have not had a quarterback that had a historic day that was bad. Like, think about it like this. Like, we've had bad games and terrible games at the quarterback position, but we never had, like, the closest to a historically bad game is when Jay Cutler threw 4 balls to D'Angelo Hall. Other than that, we've never
Don't forget about him. He threw 5 picks in his Bears debut.
He didn't break a league record. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like,
right. Yeah.
We broke a league record, as you see my son in the background. We broke a league record. Like, I had him cussing, too. I want to apologize publicly. I had my son saying bullshit early after that interception. I was saying, this is bullshit. And he was like, this is
Kids hit everything.
Yeah, so, things are looking up, man. And that's why we might have lost this game. This is not a game. This is not even a moral victory game, right?
No, it's not.
This is a sign of the future, which we're excited about.
I think last week was a moral victory game because you got your shit kicked in. This one is more of a, stepping. Not last week was stepping in the right direction, but this one was like, to me, was he's arrived. Like, if there was any question marks that you had, I think this week was like, since the New England game is when the national media was starting to like give Justin his praise.
Yeah.
And then this particular week after the Dallas game, like, I saw a lot of people like giving praise. And when they trade for Chase Claypool, I remember I was watching NFL Live, which I think is one of the best NFL breakdown shows on TV. I got to give it up to Dan Orlovsky, Ryan Clark, everybody on there, Marcus Spears. I'm going to call him Marcus Spears because Swag Goo is the worst nickname in sports. Like, you got to stop that. But when the Chase Claypool thing, I'm going to Ryan Clark clap. He's like, that's what I'm talking about. Like, all we needed was something around him. And they even had a conversation this week. I remember it was on Keyshawn. And Mike Max Kellerman asked, if You know, take weapons aside, if you can only pick one quarterback to build your franchise off what you've seen between Tua and Justin Fields, who would it be? And then, you know, Keyshawn tried to beat around the bush, and then Max, like, you're basically saying Justin Fields. He said, well, yeah, if you want to, if you give Justin, you know, his weapon, it's not even close. It's not even close. I'm going with Justin. The same thing with Jay Williams. So we're starting to see this, and the best thing about it is Justin's confidence is growing. You know, his Cole Kmet's confidence is going. This dude is doing celebrations in the end zone, and that's the type of stuff that you want to see, just things going. Like, yeah, they were in a shootout. I thought that Justin in the offense was going to do good, but I thought that they was going to blow them out.
Look, man, let's be honest, man. After that punt, that blunt, that pop blunt,
I thought it was
block.
Right. Yeah.
Thought it was a wrap.
Yeah.
After that happened, it was like, okay, it's been nice. Justin looking good, but we can get out of here.
Yeah,
but exactly. When they came back down there and scored, I looked and I said, okay, it just feels different. All of this feels different.
Yeah. And I think the thing about with Jay, and we talk about how, you know, we never had this with a quarterback. The thing with Jay was Jay had the talent. Jay had the talent. Jay just didn't give a fuck. That's Jay's biggest issue. He didn't give a fuck. He didn't decide. He wasn't a playbook guy. He wasn't going in there to, you know, look at film and see, oh, how can I cut these interceptions down? You know what I'm saying? He wasn't doing none of that. With Mitchell Trubisky, I think Bears fans, we were so upset that we didn't get Deshaun Watson or Patrick Mahomes. That's like, we have no choice but to root this guy on. It was like rooting on a little kid. You know, he was doing like, oh, look at him. He threw a ball past 8 yards. Like, it was small shit like that. Even when he threw six touchdowns against the Buccaneers, nobody thought that was a thing to build on. And those Buccaneers had one of the worst passing defenses in NFL history. And a lot of these fucking touchdowns were you know, wide open. This dude is making great throws against great defenses. Usually you get a young quarterback against a Bill Belichick-led defense, and you're fooled. Your fool. You know what I'm saying? Like, he didn't break a sweat against an all-pro secondary today.
I want to shout out the offensive line, too.
Yes.
I think we've been shitting on the offensive line all season long and the offseason. So to see that this offensive line gave up only 2 sacks with a team that just got Bradley Chubb, and this defense is not is not chopped liver, right? This defense is pretty decent. Yeah. And then it happened late. These are not sacks that happened in the beginning of the game. So it looks like Cody Whitehair was definitely the missing piece that we needed. And if, you know, Lucas Patrick could get healthy, and we can move 67 now. I won't even call him by his name, because one drive that we were moving was affected by his holding call, which he didn't have to hold. So if we can –
And he gave up the sack.
Exactly. So when you look at it, this was the best game that the offensive line had on both rush, both run and passing. Yeah. Best one we ever had. And then also, it says something to say that they might have adjusted to Justin.
Yep.
And I think that people need to understand that it's not just okay, stay in front of your man when it comes to an offensive line. You have to know your quarterback's tendency. So I think that they have all gelled with each other. So we will see in these next couple of games, because, you know, going up against the Lions next week, they don't have anybody on that defensive line that makes
you. We should have a cook. My brother's in the comment. He said, I remember when this show had integrity.
Oh, man.
I remember when they had phenomenal hosts like Joe.
I mean, stop getting sick, Joe. Stop getting sick,
nigga.
Yeah, so, I mean, we look like we've turned a corner to where we can start looking up. We're still going to have to improve in certain areas. Yeah. But this is the game here where you can look to 2-3 years down the line. And if things do turn like we expect them to turn, you could say that was the game that we saw that let us know that we had a team for the future.
Yep, and then also too, in 2 comments, I'm gonna give some comments in the group chat. Shout out our guy Zach. He says, I didn't get to watch much of his. I was at a family event up here in Wisconsin, watching the Packers lose and tracking Fields on the phone was pleasurable. Fields is
oh
bad,
my
man.
God,
that was great.
That makes it even better. I've been saying, look, Scott, I've been saying for a year and a half that the Packers are headed to the ghetto.
I said it too. You said it on your Facebook like every week. Y'all ain't going to be laughing soon.
You're not going to be laughing, because it's going to happen sooner rather than later that y'all are headed to the ghetto. Ladies and gentlemen, the Green Bay Packers are in the ghetto. The difference between us and them as our paycheck is bigger and we've saved up enough to get a studio apartment, and they've lost it all, ladies and gentlemen. Green Bay Packers are in the ghetto, and you know they're in the ghetto when Lil Wayne now here tweeting that, bruh, we should have got rid of Aaron Rodgers.
I saw Packers Twitter, Packers media members, who said, man, he said, when, so are we going to not talk about giving, who's their backup quarterback? Jordan Love. I saw from multiple media members, and here's Billy Ice said, Justin Demo, Claypool, Jenkins, and Komet. The Bears be the light-skinned Jackson 5 core. It's going to be special. Hey, he said, Flows is my guy. We got the Bradley Beal immune system.
Hey, man.
It's Justin looked real comfortable in the pocket. Yeah, he did too in the time they had him in the pocket because he was actually getting blocking. And yeah, and that's the thing that's perfect about it is like, and I forgot who said this. I was watching, yeah, it was Chris Sims and Mike Fleury on Pro Football Live, and they said they love the trade. They said, yeah, you give him a second pick. They say you love this trade because of next year. He said, yep, it gives him 9 games to get in with Justin. It gives him a camp to get in with Justin. And he said, next year the division's going to be up for grabs. So I wouldn't be surprised if Rodgers retires this year. Bro, I wouldn't be surprised.
I said it last year. This year is probably his last year, or he's going to San Francisco.
Yeah.
Or Tennessee. He's not going to be in Green Bay next year, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
And
if he's not dealing with this another year.
He's not dealing with this. And the thing is like when you look at the reports that came out earlier today that said that they offered a second and another pick for Chase.
They offered a first for DJ Moore.
They offered a first for DJ Moore. They offered some picks for Darren Waller from the Raiders. They tried. And nothing was shaking. And Odell Beckham Jr., he's probably going to get cleared this
week.
He's
going to Buffalo, bro.
He ain't going to Green Bay. Fam, you, unless Aaron Rodgers say, I don't want to go out like that, he's not coming back to Green Bay. No. This is it. And even if he comes back to Green Bay,
it's going
to
be a bad team.
This is going, I mean, not just is going to be a bad team, it's going to be a knockout, drag out for this division, because Minnesota's not going to be huff as hell next year.
No, Minnesota's not going to huff, but they got Kirk Cousins. This thing about Minnesota, and like I know you play who you play, and I'm not trying to take nothing against their record. 7-1 in the NFL is 7-1. But the thing about it is they smell like a first-round exit.
Oh yeah, they
like you convince me Super Wild Card weekend the Giants come in their house and they beat them.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying – all I'm saying is in your division, they in it until they ain't in it no more. So, like, this right here is shaping up for the Bears to do what Leor Poles said, is to own the North. It's just that he got $130 million that he got to work with. I'm going to say the same thing that I said before. He has to hit on everything. Because I know a lot of people are talking about wide receivers and things. I see KE says, does this level of play attract potential wide receivers to our market? I told Scott, I told Flows, I told everybody that can listen, we can't be huff. Yeah. We can't be 4-13 and be terrible. Yeah. We have to show some type of fight, and you can't be 4-13 and not show that much fight for somebody to be like, you know what, I want to go over to the Bears. But then when you look at free agency, the reason why that number two from the Bears was given to the Steelers, and I'm not mad at it, because as of right now, your top wide receiver in free agency is Nelson Agholor, followed by Sterling Shepard, DJ Clark, Randall Cobb, Marvin Jones, Julio Jones, Brian Pringle, who's already on the Bears, Alan Lazard, who has been off injured this year, Jacoby Myers. It's not very attractive, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
And then in the draft, you just got to hope you're in position to get some of these people. And ladies and gentlemen, Marvin Harrison Jr., Murder Marv Jr., he can only opt out into the draft in 2024.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's important to get somebody like Chase Claypool to match with Mooney and have Komet do what he do today.
Because, and there's also some disgruntled wide receivers who can be available in trade for the low. Like, I think Brandon Cooks is a name that we can look at, coming up. And I think there's something that, for me personally, I want to build in the draft. But I think it was Dan Lolofsky said a very important thing a couple of days ago. He said he wants a veteran in that room.
Oh, that's what I was actually about to go in that route.
Yeah.
I was actually going to go in that route because you do need a veteran wide receiver in that room to teach those young cats, especially like a Chase Claypool, who does have a streak of immaturity in the Steelers uniform. Like Mike Evans is a free agent in 2024. Does he try to finesse himself out of Tampa Bay once Tom Brady says,
I got a name for you.
Who you got?
DeAndre Hopkins. I think he can opt out or something like that in his contract. Well, not opt out, but they were talking about him being a trade target or something like that this weekend.
What people did.
And there's video right now. Ooh. My man Mikey. My man Mikey just sent me a tweet. And it's a tweet of Poles licking his lips, and it's got Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins cussing each other out on the sidelines.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. That's what I like to see. You got Corey Davis, Curtis Samuel, Tyler Boyd. I like all of the Cincinnati Bengals wide receivers, ladies and gentlemen. I wanted T. Higgins. So it is vets that would be available in 2024, but can try to finesse their way out of their situation. Like a Mike Evans, I don't see Mike Evans being in Tampa Bay if Tom Brady.
I was just about to say that. If the GOAT gives a sidebar, like I'm going into the booth now, Mike Evans could be available. Right.
But at the same time, you have to get rid of something to get them. So do you trade draft capital for those type of players, knowing that you need to upgrade on your offensive line? Do you hope that one of them gets released if they don't take a pay cut? No, those 2024s, you can only see when they come. But even they don't look as attractive. They're really top heavy, you know, because it's Mike Evans, Robbie Anderson, Corey Davis, Curtis Samuel, Tyler Boyd, Devontae Parker. Ooh, after like the first one. So that's why getting to Chase Claypool is important. And seeing Mooney and Kmet today shows why that we okay when it comes to in a certain point, at least for right now, for this wide receiver room.
I think D-Hop is a guy that, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if they, like, cut because he's an older guy. And if he wanted a pay cut or something like that. But me personally, the Bears have so many fucking holes that I would probably just go draft this year. Like, you can go get you somebody else. Like, as of right now, like, let's just say they'll get you, like, a Jordan Addison. You know, something like that, you know, in the first round or some shit like that. That's fine. As long as you just build up this room, because to me, you got a nice complement of two guys right now. You got your Claypool and you got your Mooney. And then you can just build around that. And if Cole Kmet keeps doing what he's doing, that takes a massive weight on your back because tight ends are used as wide receivers nowadays. So that would be something that you can add on to. But this, you need to build onto this offensive line. I really think the defense, I think you need to draft a big-time pass rusher, but I think there's some decent defenders on the free agent list who you can throw some money at this offseason.
I mean, I have it up right here as far as edge rushers, young, because, you know, J.J. Watt, Robert Quinn, Brandon Cram, all of those are over 32 and up. But you got a Yannick Ngakoue, who I probably butchered his last name, but he is a free agent this year. Dalvin Tomlinson is another one. What's my man name? Pharrell, who's with the Raiders. He's another one at the edge that's a free agent. And when it comes to just the defensive line of in general, when you look at the tackle position, Fletcher Cox is a name he's a synonymous with the Eagles, but can they afford him as they get ready to pay
Jalen Hurts.
You got a Larry, I can't pronounce my man name, but the Bears tried to sign
him. Ogunjobi.
There we go. He'll be a free agent this year too. But another name to look out for is the Ron Payne from the Commanders. Do you offer him a boatload of money, being that he is 25 years old, and will he be staying with the Commanders? He's somebody that I think the Bears definitely need to keep an eye on in the interior. And the Bears, it's looking like the Bears are going to be in a situation where I don't know if they have a top five pick. No, at this point right now. So
I think at the stands, they're like 6 or 7.
Yeah, they're like 6 or 7. So,
and they're going to win a couple more games.
And yeah, you have a situation where this is a Bears game that could win 2 games and put them out of position to get somebody like a Jalen Carter from Georgia. Like, in a perfect world, that's who I would get. if he was available. But and that's really dependent on the quarterback position. You know, if you get a team like a Pittsburgh who might not be in love with Kenny Pickett and there's a quarterback there, then that means a Anderson from Alabama or a Carter from Georgia can slip, depending on how many quarterback needy people are in the top five. So never know what might happen.
I mean, the next three games are pretty winnable. You know, this upcoming game against Detroit, I mean, it's the Lions, man. We beat them even when, you know, when we can't score. So I'm expecting to win that one. You know, Atlanta's going to be a good game. Atlanta's going to be a good game.
It'll be a great game.
A great game. I still think a game that we can win. But that wouldn't surprise me if that's a shootout game right there. And then you got the Jets, which is going to be, you know, that's going to be a tough game because the Jets got a real good defense. Just got a real good defense.
Sauce Gardner, man, rookie of the year for me.
Sauce Gardner, rookie. They had Josh Allen looking a little crazy today. So, you know, they can definitely make things a little.
And I hope his arm is okay, too.
Yeah.
He was favoring that arm. And then after that, December 4th, man, that game might be the game that shows us where we're really at coming in this future, against the Packers.
This game, you know, I'm going to Zach put in the comments, only man the game wants to win is against Green Bay. And by the way, it's funny that everybody in the chat is roasting my brother's immune system. Pretty fucking funny. He said he got Joe's immune system working with the White Sox strength conditioning team. Dang. Your immune system is like Booch on the pick and roll. Joseph Beal. But, yeah, you know, this game to me, that game is a game that I personally want. I need it like I need air. To me, like, if there was one thing I loved about the 2010 season, was people forget, we put the final nail in the coffin in Brett Favre.
Yes, we did.
Brett Favre's last game, Brian Urlacher knocked him into retirement.
That's right.
I wish I could take that picture and frame it. Remember that was a game where Minnesota had to play at the University of Minnesota because snow came through the Metrodome? That's when we won the division. Devin Hester broke the all-time record. And we knocked Brett Favre into fucking retirement.
Good time.
I need one of those moments against Aaron Rodgers like I need air. This is a team who put up 9 points against statistically the worst defense in the NFL in the Detroit Lions. And the Detroit Lions only score like 15 points. We can score on the Packers defense. You know what's the thing? If you don't think that the Bears are going to have that game circled at the crib at 2, I'm so happy that I will be in attendance of that game. That there's going to be at the crib. That's going to be like our homecoming game. You know, it's the homecoming game. Yes. You circle that. No, we need this. This is the game we need.
Especially if this ends up being Aaron Rodgers' last game. Oh, man.
Yes. It would be chef's kiss. Chef's kiss. Like, and that's the game that I want. I need it. Like, I need it. I don't give a damn about the Eagles game or the Bills game. I don't care. You beat one of them, that's fine. Both are Super Bowl contenders. I want this one. I want it more than – I can't even put into words. And I feel like a lot of Bears fans feel that way. You know, that's a month away from now. You know, we got to take one game at a time. But I'm already thinking about it. And I'm like, this is a team we can beat, man.
Yeah.
And so that's how I feel about that, man. Let's talk about the defense real quick. Defense was god-awful. I mean, you know, like we always – but even though the score says 35, but they only gave up 28 points. But the problem was they didn't even look close to any of those – drives and they gave up 28 points. Tua had an amazing game, 21 of 30, 302 yards, 3 touchdowns. He was averaging 10 yards per throw.
In the win.
In the win. And this fucking wide receiver core for the Dolphins, man. I mean, Tyreek Hill, 7 receptions, 143 yards, 1 touchdown. Jalen Waddle, 5 receptions, 85 yards, 1 touchdown. Sherfield had 3 catches, 27 yards. Cedric Wilson Jr. put in 2 catches, 23 yards. I think right now we got to really talk about just where we rank Tariq and Jalen in some of the best wide receiver duos in the last couple of years.
I mean, in the last couple of years, they're probably the best that I've seen.
Yeah.
You know, on both sides of the ball. Not going to put them in a situation like, you know, with San Francisco, with Jerry Rice and John Taylor.
Or like Torrey Holden, Isaiah.
I'm not even going to put them as the best Miami duo in Miami history because you got Mark Duper and Mark Clayton with Dan Marino. Not yet, at least. You know what I'm saying? I got to see what happens at the end of the season because – the way that this wide receiver core is right now, they should be able to sneak into the AFC Championship with what they have and with a somewhat decent defense. But and those two wide receivers, especially somebody as fast as Tyreek Hill, is going to give your cornerbacks fits, which I don't have any issues when it comes to that.
I have no issue with the secondary.
Right. But my issue, however, was the lack of the positioning in the middle of the field. Right. You saw in some cases, man, Jack Sanborn off a undrafted free agent from the crib, no less. Shouts out to Lake Zurich. Is guarding Tyreek Hill. Come on now. You have to put your defense in a better position than Allen Williams did. The middle of the field was wide open. They were killing it on third down before the last couple of minutes of the game, which allowed us to stay in it. So really, that's what they ate us up at. They ate us up on third down in the middle of the field. So that's something that was an issue last week as well against the Dallas Cowboys. They didn't run the ball effectively. Matter of fact, this probably was the best rushing defense that the Bears have had all season long.
Yeah, definitely.
Or at least since the San Francisco game. Jeff Wilson had 9 carries for 51 yards. Raheem Mostert had 9 carries for 26 yards. So, you know, this is the best running defense that they've had all year long. But though they did not touch Tua really like that at all. Matter of fact,
they didn't touch him at all.
They didn't touch him at all. They did not get a sack. So you have that right there. That front seven is terrible.
Yeah.
With a capital T. So we got to get that figured out.
That's the main goal. Like, three main goals you got to, because I feel like the secondary is good. Like, Kendall Vildor is not going to be here next year, so I'm not really worried about that. But eventually you can move Kyler Gordon over to the number one, to actually being CB2. To me, Jalen Johnson is elite. He does it. Yeah, he had a rough job today, but Tyreek Hill is so goddamn fast. But he does great against the elite wide receivers. You know what I'm saying? Justin Jefferson had that big first half. He didn't do shit the second half. You know what I'm saying? He's done really, really great, you know, against Davante Adams in the time he's played with him. So I think you got that. And one thing I love, Eddie Jackson's having a great year. And those things today that even in this loss that he showed me, there was one play where Mostert was wide open. Eddie Jackson, the only one trucking down the field, went to get the tackle. What was the one thing we always say about Eddie Jackson? He sometimes gets a little lazy and he's only going for the turnover. He don't go actually going to tackle. This year he's been tackling, and him seeing him yelling at the other players to get in their positions, he's really becoming the leader of this defense, where Roquan was and where Khalil Mack was and where Akeem Hicks was. And so he's really stepping up and becoming that captain. That's why Flus named him the captain of this team. And one thing that I love in general from, you know, Flus, and I know it's a little bit off topic, but what they're doing is they're going off who fits this team. They're not going, they don't give a shit about where you drafted at. And I think them sitting Larry Borum down to put Riley Reiff at right tackle, which worked great, and saying, you know what, we like how Dante Pettis look more in practice this week than Velus Jones. We don't give a damn if Velus Jones was drafted in the third round. You're not playing. And it's really just about looking at who's going to be long-term. Coach loses a tough game like this. First thing, he goes to the podium and says, this is a massive step forward for the franchise and for Justin Fields. He knows what he's doing. And I feel like for the first time, we see the coaching staff and the front office in sync. Now, of course, actions speak louder than words. And I'm going to keep saying this, even when you look at baseball. I know a lot of White Sox fans love what Pedro Grifol said in his press conference. I don't give a damn about winning the press conference. You go out there and show me that you can do it. And it's kind of the same thing here. But as far as the defensive side of the ball, they need to be worried about rebuilding this front seven and getting some linebackers in there. You need two linebackers. Nicholas Morrow ain't it. You need two linebackers. I like Sam Moore. I don't think he's all that.
I'm glad you said Nicholas Morrow ain't it, because that man's terrible.
Yeah, he's got all.
At least for this. And then you got to look at, if you could get one, if Villador is not going to be here, if you could get one more free agency. I put like this, if I'm a Bears fan right now and I know that we got $130 million to spend, I am looking at the 2023 free agents and seeing who's out there and not playing Madden, but just to see who's out there. Yeah. Because we say it with wide receivers and not realizing that the wide receiver, the 2023 wide receiver free agents as presently constructed right now don't look too good. Yeah, but when you look at the cornerbacks, you have, and I'm looking at Emmanuel Mosley right now, who's a young, pretty good cornerback that could possibly fit what's going on here in Chicago. That's somebody that you could put on the other side of Jalen Jones or put up in the slot if Gordon can improve and be another shutdown for you.
Now, from when you were watching this game, do you think it was more of a Allen Williams thing or just the personnel?
I think it's both. Like, I think it's both. Allen Williams is not working with a lot of talent. You end up trading Roquan Smith, who was your most talented person, and then you trade Robert Quinn, who was your second talented person. It's not like Robert Quinn was doing a lot this season, but he was somebody that you had to respect at the very least. And do you respect Gibson? No, you don't really respect him. Muhammad on the other side? Not really. Jeff Jones is the only interior lineman that I could think of. Oh, and Mike Pernell Jr. And they didn't really have they didn't have eye-popping games, but again, this was the best that the running defense looked all season long. So, but when you look at the linebackers, today was the first time I heard Joe Thomas's name. Yeah. And the only Joe Thomas I know is a Saint, basically. You know what I'm saying? Nicholas Morrow had his moments, but no. And then you got Sanborn, who is going to try hard. He's going to put all his heart and soul in it because he's one of those type of players. But you have to improve in those areas, and hopefully the front office and all of the scouts are searching high and low, because this is what I mean that we need to hit. Looking at the defense is now in more trouble than the offense was when it was the other way around. Like I said, the offensive line has shown improvement. And really, if you want to be real, the offensive line showed improvement against the Dallas Cowboys, because we thought Michael Parsons
was going to have a generational game.
We thought he was going to have a Lawrence Taylor, Derek Thomas, six sacks type of game. That didn't happen. So the offensive line has been improving and improving and improving. But on the other side of the trenches, it's not been happening like that. So you have to hit on the draft picks, and we have a nice assortment of draft picks. And you got to hit in free agency as well. You can't spend half of that $130 million on lemons.
Yeah, you don't pull the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Exactly. Do not pull that, because if you saw what you saw today, and even though Minnesota won, they had to come from behind to beat the Commanders. This division is ripe for the taking, not only next year, but years to come. You have to strike now while the iron is hot.
Strike now, plant your flag, and say, okay, Aaron Rodgers is gone. What they say, the king of the North? Remember in Game of Thrones where they crown Jon Snow? You know, they crown Robb Stark, and it was king of the North. It's time for Justin Fields and his team. It's like, okay, the hard part, the super, super hard part, I would say in Mike's defense, he was hurt. We still shouldn't play. Everybody's hurt. I don't hear that. It's week 11. I don't give – everybody in the NFL's hurt. Everybody in the NFL hurt. You hurt, you shouldn't play. But so, you know, you got to put your flag down. Like, I don't want to say it's like, I mean, it's the hardest part, but you now see that you have a quarterback. So now it's Paul's job to not fuck this up. You have to protect him. You have to get him more weapons, and you need to give this man a defense. Because as much as we love the offense, you still can't win a championship without a defense. You need to go get you a defense. You need to get you a pass rusher is very important. Quarterback is the most important position in football. I will argue a dominant pass rusher is the second most important position in football. You need a quarterback who can throw, and you need a guy who can go get to the quarterback. So that's something you need to get. But one thing I do have faith in, finally, is I believe that Ryan Poles has a plan. That's all I wanted to know, is if you have a plan. You've got 9 draft picks and $130 million to spend. Now, of course, you ain't got to spend all the money in 1 year. You still got a couple extensions to get out. You're going to have to pay Jalen Johnson. You know, eventually you're gonna have to pay Justin if he continues to play well. So, you know, that's stuff that in the future, but you need to plant your flag and say, okay, either Rodgers is done or he's on the way out. And when he leaves, you want everybody in the North, the Vikings, the Packers, and the Lions, to say, we have to find a way to beat Justin Fields. Just like for the last 16 years, everybody knows that we need to find a way to beat Aaron Rodgers. We need to find a way to beat Justin Fields. And that's the mission and the goal for Ryan Poles, man. I actually have faith that it can get done. And I'm slowly getting to the point where it's like, as a Bears fan, I knew nothing. Every time a Bears quarterback steps back, my heart is like, I don't know where the ball's going to land. And I'm slowly starting to get more comfortable with these step backs. You know what I'm saying? So that's really what I'm looking for, man. But let's wrap this up and talk about the officiating. Officiating was god-awful. You know, we can sit here and talk about the bad EQ miss, which he should have fucking got that ball. Yeah. But that should have been a pass interference called on Chase Claypool. you know, on Miami Dolphins defense, guarding Chase Claypool. There was a bad pass interference call on Eddie Jackson a couple plays before. There was a roughing the passer call that should have been called on Justin Fields when Sam Mustafa let the blow-up happen on a drive that could have won the game. When they just gave Tua the same roughing the quarterback, something that was way lighter, like a quarter earlier. So there needs to be more consistency. And I think the worst part about NFL officiating, not just with the Bears, when there's a bad call, there's a bad call. And it ruins the fucking game. And I feel like these refs should have to talk to the media and should be fined when they make mistakes like that. Because, you know, tomorrow morning, the NFL is going to say, well, you know, we went back and looked at it. It was a missed call on the pass interference. And that doesn't help anybody right now. So that, to me, was a massive dent in this game.
You said it. Ain't even shit else for me to say on that one, man. Like, it was so you could say that referee was out of position. The photo don't look like he was out of position. But I'm not on that field. But it was a couple of bad calls that I saw in that game that I saw. I mean, it's holding on every play, but I saw some holes that I was like, wow, y'all just not paying attention today, huh? But those last two pass interference calls was just blatant. Yeah. Like, my man hands was around him. And if you were, I expect for the NFL to come out and say, hey, yeah, that was pass interference.
100%, yeah.
You know, and you know what? What's crazy is now after the game is over with, I look at it as a positive because it helps us out in positioning. So, I mean, like, hey.
That's what Billy said. He said, worst refs I've ever seen. When we get that fifth pick instead of the ninth, I'm going to send him a gift vest.
Yeah, it's like, man, thank you. You know, so who was you really helping out at the time,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, you hate to see the Bears fight like that and then end up short off of a pass interference call. Now, you know, the wrong Say Brown should have caught that last ball.
Yeah, the wrong, you know, Say Brown.
I'm just gonna call him the wrong fake one right now. So should he have caught that ball? Yes, he should have caught that ball, and that we would have been in position to kick a field goal, at the very least. Or the way that we've been driving on this team for the rest of the game, we might score and we might take one and put us in a position to where, you know, we could possibly, looking at the schedule, be in a couple of games and be right back in it. With that being said, yeah, referees should be available at the end of the game to let us know what they saw. And I would love for a referee on that field to tell us why that right there was not pass interference.
Yeah, definitely, man. And there's one thing, you know, as we wrap up, I would say, like, Justin Fields playing well is amazing for the NFL, by the way. You know, the NFL wants nothing more than a franchise quarterback in Chicago. Like, just even looking from the NFL is posting Justin Fields highlights every 2 seconds, like the last month. This has been a theme. Like, sometimes they get it up, they get the highlight up quicker than the Bears social media do. And that's going to be huge. Like, the era of a primetime game coming and you see Khalil Mack or some Brian Urlacher on the advertisement, it's over. Them days are done. Justin is on there. And I don't think people from outside of Chicago really understand that if this kid gets in the top five best quarterbacks, he is going to be a god in that city. Do you understand?
He's not going to be just a god in the city. He's going to be a god in the NFL. You hit the nail on the head. And just going back to what I said earlier, when have you ever heard historic game
in the
Chicago Bears, a historic game from a quarterback and Chicago Bears at the same time? We have not heard it in our lifetime. The last time we heard it was Sid Luckman. We didn't hear it when Jim McMahon was in 1985 because he didn't have a historic game. The defense did. We've never heard historic game and Bears quarterback in the same sentence. If you look at the record book now, and there is first quarterback two next to a Bears quarterback. The only other Bears quarterback that has records, NFL records, by his name is Sid Luckman.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, we saw something that we've never seen before in our lifetime. I don't care if it was rushing the ball. I have no care in the world when it comes to that.
It's 2022, man. That's how football is played now.
Right, and Bobby Douglas didn't do that in the 1970s. Yeah. So I say all that to say this. The NFL knows what they have in the Bears. And what's crazy is the Bears are in the third biggest market, and they are a sleeping giant. Yeah. You know this just as well as I do. They get a new stadium, every team in the league is going to increase – have their team increase by billions of dollars. The Commanders is probably about to sell for $7 billion, ladies and gentlemen. You got a team that has a stadium that they can't do naming rights with. They have one of the smallest stadiums in the NFL, and they have historically not been a winner since the 1960s. In the 1960s, consistently. We've had one Super Bowl championship since 1985 and been to the Super Bowl only two times. You need the Chicago Bears to be a winner in order for the NFL to really be on top like they want to. Because of ratings, if the Bears play on Sunday and Monday night, who's going to have the best ratings of the week?
The Bears.
The Bears. So now you put a quarterback who has the potential that Justin Fields has, the NFL is looking like this. The
NFL looking their chops right now. And what did Will Smith say when he saw Ashley singing? Cha-ching!
Cha-ching. When the NFL sees that in the third biggest market, they are like this. Yo, it's time to start printing money, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Because when the Bears are winning, we are winning.
They already up to 5 primetime games for next year. I can guarantee
you. Oh, man. Look.
And already, just off this month, the Bears had 3 this year. They're 5 already.
Already, fam.
Already they are 5.
And I didn't look to see who, like, what divisions we playing. Mm-hmm. But don't let us play an AFC West next year.
This is Mahomes Fields.
Oh. You already see what I'm talking about.
Monday Night Football, Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, press it up right now.
Man, and don't let Kansas City win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It's the first game of the year.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pull back on my excitement a little bit because we still got $130 million and some draft picks. But ladies and gentlemen, we have ourselves a quarterback. I'm happy. We could celebrate. I'm feeling good. And I can't wait to see the future for Justin Fields and the Chicago Bears.
3 things I want to say before we get up out of here. One, this is like at the end of episode 1 of House of the Dragon, where Viserys was showing Rhaenyra the Valyrian dagger. She said, "The blood of my blood will be the prince that was promised." That's Justin, people. Mm-hmm. that is Justin right there. Number 2, you know, like you said, I want to peel back my excitement. It's like, I'm going to compare it to being on a road trip. Like, you're not to your destination yet, but you can start to see the city limits. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you pull into Chicago and you start seeing the Sears Tower, you see Chicago skyline and things like that. I'm close to my destination. You know what I'm saying? That's that. And number 3, I can't wait to be in Atlanta in 2 weeks because that is going to be a Chicago Bears convention.
And the crazy thing about it is, while it's going to be a Chicago Bears convention, you know,
it's gonna be a good game.
Not just a good game, no. You know who else gonna show up heavy? Friends and family and everybody in Atlanta who saw that man play in high school.
Because Justin's from the area.
Yeah, I remember when we drafted him, one of my coworkers, shouts out to my man James Henderson. He called me, said, "I watched every game of this boy in high school, and I'm letting you know, y'all straight if y'all don't mess him up." Well, ladies and gentlemen, we didn't mess him up. The Bears didn't mess him up. It looks like we have less to worry about. Luke Getsy, Justin Fields are looking good. Now we got to shore up that defense. And you know what? Still a couple of games and get some people confidence.
Still
up
a couple of games. Yeah. I would like for the Bears to be in Vegas in February 2025.
Man, look.
So let's get that going. Because do you understand? I just want to paint this picture for y'all real quick. And this is probably putting a little bit too much dip on my chip, but fuck it. Let's just say the Bears did make the Super Bowl, the Vegas Super Bowl, and they won. And I'm there covering. Do you understand? I want to be a level of drunk that I have never reached.
Oh, you're going to be a part of the media that's inside the room.
I'm going to be a level of drunk that you can't even imagine. Adjust it. Pass that. Pastor.
Hey, Pastor. Hey, I'm from the crib, G. I ain't one of these. Hey, I can already hear Scott now. Look, I ain't one of these sports writing clowns that be talking shit about y'all in the papers, G. I'm from the South Side. Fuck y'all talking about? Yeah. Hey, pass me that champagne, G.
You gonna see me with the goggles on and the press room, man.
We gonna be looking at the news like, man, is Scott celebrating with them?
And then I'm going to Dre's, nigga. I'm gonna be the same night. You gonna see me in there like, this nigga, you gonna see me on SportsCenter. This nigga celebrate with team. Like, oh, nigga, I don't care if I lose my credential, nigga. Fuck it.
You might end up talking to Channel 5 like you one of the players. Like, hey, man. I've been waiting on this all my life, ladies and gentlemen. And yes. Look, and before we go, I'll say this, man. You have to understand the level. For those who are not from Chicago that might be watching this, you have to understand the level of excitement that this gives us because of what we haven't had and what we have potential for. And then at the end of that, just to put all of that in a bow, knowing that this is not a Cubs town. This is not a Sox town. This is not a Bulls town. This is a Bears town.
It's a Chicago Bears town.
If the Bears are good, we are around here straight. I want to see the level of violence in Chicago when the Chicago Bears are winning. That's how everybody is happy when you see the bus riding down the street and the shit says Go Bears before it says King Drive. Like,
you gonna fuck around, niggas gonna be hanging from them damn streets, boy. You gonna fuck around that parade and this thing about the 85 parade too. A lot of people don't remember the 85 parade. Remember it was that spaceship blew up or something like that. And so people forget. I'm gonna watch it on 85 documentary. If the Bears have another one, first of all, I'm finding a way on the float. One way or another,
I'm drunk.
I'm hitting somebody at the who work for the Bears. Like, yo, I need on that float, yo. I need on that float. So, you know, if anybody watching this not from Chicago, like, these niggas put too much dip on the chip. I'm excited. Right. I've been waiting for a franchise quarterback my entire life, and I feel like we finally fucking got it.
Again, when is the time that you ever heard historic performance in Chicago Bears quarterback in the same sentence?
Ever.
Never.
Never happened. Never happened.
You never. Your grandparents might have never heard it, G.
Yep, probably. Yeah,
your great grandparents heard it.
My grandfather's favorite quote. Now, my grandfather died when I was two, so you know, I feel like my mom always telling a story about me watching Bears games with him when I was like one, and she said that's low key where it started. But my grandfather's favorite quote was three downs and a damn punt about the Bears. So even he didn't know about great quarterback. Three downs and a damn point punt, man. So I'm excited. I'm excited to get to Chicago next weekend. I'm excited to be at Soldier Field. I'm excited to follow the rest of this season. Bang, once again, thank you for joining, filling in for my brother. If you want to hear us later this week, some sessions will be dropping for y'all later this week. As we're going to be going getting to a lot of stuff. We got a Dateline series that I want to – we're doing part two of. We'll talk about okay. You saw in the notes what the topic was that you laughed at.
Yeah.
We'll get into that this week, part two of our Dateline series, man. But you know to follow us on Twitter at Barbshare. Scott Bang, let them know they get tuned with you.
Hey,
you
know, pods, man. Hey, man. JR Bang, some dude, episode 147 is live right now. But 148, along with Summer Sessions, are going to be the two best podcasts that you hear this week. So that's a shameless plug right there. We just recorded the episode of First Black Champ today. Where we're talking about Logan Paul and a number of other things. So y'all could go ahead and check that out on Barbershed Digital. Follow me at JR Bang, at Some Dude Pod, at FBC_POD Bang.
I'll be back this week with I'm Not Gonna Hold You. I know a lot of y'all had problems with what I said about a certain Brooklyn Nets point guard. Just know, I'm doubling the fuck down. Just know that very, very clearly. So I got even more to say this week. So look out for that. That'll be on Barbershed Network and HB Media TV. Of course, you can follow the Barbershed Net at Barbershed Net on Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com.
Welcome to the ghetto, Green Bay.
Welcome to the prime. What my man Michael, remember the Diddy video, Bad Boy for Life? Back to the ghetto you go. No, that was the next Friday. That's what it was, next Friday. Mm-hmm. Back to the ghetto you go, man. So we're going to holler at y'all next week. It's Detroit Lions week, so looking forward to that. We will have a preview pod later this week, man. So get in tune, man. We out.
7th night for Hallis, what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis. Know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning.